This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
We've got a special guest in the studio, and Joe, wasn't it? Was it Joe?
It's Joe, yeah.
We were talking birds.
Yes, I am a falconer. Yeah. Birds are what I do.
You chuck that in there before there's any confusion at all. We're talking birds. You're a falconer. Just explain what a falconer is.
So a falconer is basically a person that works with birds of prey. The true definition of a falconer is someone that hunts with a bird of prey, but these days, because there are so many different forms of it, you know, there's more display work like what I do. It's someone that trains and works with birds of prey, trains them to fly and fly free, and, you know, obviously helps keep them fit and healthy and happy too.
I've got loads of questions.
Brilliant.
This is fascinating. You're based at Haven Street?
Yes, Haven Falconry. We're based at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. We've had our centre for just over a year now, so it's doing very well.
Okay, so you've been there yourself?
I've been with Haven Falconry for 6 years now, so I've seen it go from a more mobile thing, building the centre, which I played a very big part in, I'd just like to throw that in there, to now being open, having our zoo licence and having visitors inside the centre.
Brilliant. I know the Haven Street Steam Railway goes from strength to strength, so
yes.
Where were you before?
We were there, we were just mobile, so we take a small selection of birds up there every day, offer the guests or the visitors of the Isle of Wight Steam Railway the chance to hold one for a small fee, and then we do a display. Now, however, we have our permanent base there, so we have our aviaries, people can come in, and we do two displays a day, so it's much better for us.
What is a bird of prey?
A bird of prey is a bird that hunts for its food. A lot of people... how do I word this? Okay, so a bird of prey is a bird that has to hunt for its food. It's a bird that hunts to survive. But I often get asked, well, doesn't that mean penguins are birds of prey? And the answer is no, they're not, because they don't have claws or talons on their feet, and they are in the sea. They're not considered birds of prey. So you're looking at things that are going for other birds. You're looking at things that are going for rabbits, rats, you know, it's mammals and birds, as opposed to necessarily going into the sea and fishing. Though there are some that do fish, but... So buzzards, for example, on the Isle of Wight here are birds of prey. We have peregrine falcons, that's a bird of prey. Kind of tying myself up in knots here. but yes, it's basically a bird that has to hunt.
Okay, now that can obviously cause many, many problems. You were talking about when you first get a bird that has been trained by the, you know, obviously just come from home, the nest.
Yes.
You get one of those, and the first thing it wants to do is rip your eyes out.
Yes, I will just clarify, it's not taken from the nest. It's illegal to take birds from the wild. So these are all captive bred birds. If it's a parent-reared bird, they will be in with their parents up until they're fully grown and ready to come out for training. And yes, when you first take them out, they absolutely hate you. They despise you. Everything you do, they hate you so much. So you do have to be very, very careful, because they are well equipped to damage you should they want to.
Okay, so what's the, you know, obviously if they've got these beaks and these talons and they can take your eye out and so on and so on, how do you protect yourself?
It's all about proper health and safety. You know, obviously we wear the leather gauntlets to protect our hands. We have equipment on the birds so that we can secure them safely in a suitable way, and you just don't take any risks. If a falconer ever gets injured, 9 times out of 10, unless there is something, you've got a particularly aggressive bird, but 9 times out of 10 it's the falconer's fault. So it's something you've just got to accept with part of the job, really.
Okay, have you been bitten or?
Yes, I have. Luckily, nothing too serious, but as I say, it's just part of the territory.
Do you wear goggles?
No. No.
Should you wear goggles?
No, as long as you don't let that, but as long as you're practicing proper health and safety, you shouldn't have any issues. As I say, if you're going to get injured, it's your fault. It's your fault. You've let that bird get too close to your face. You've given that bird too much freedom with its feet. You know, you've not taken the proper precautions to make sure that you're not going to get injured. So,
okay.
The answer is as long as you're doing things correctly, then you shouldn't have any need for goggles.
How long does it take before you build up a special relationship so you know that you're safe?
You never 100% know that you're safe.
Ah.
You just, like any animal, you can't get into their head, you know, you don't know what they're thinking. As long as you've trained them properly, and again, you're always using that health and safety, then you shouldn't ever have too many issues. But you know, your bird could just turn like that if it wanted to. It's part of the fun of the game, I think.
Okay, so you've always got to be on your toes.
Always got to be on your toes. They are, at the end of the day, they're not pets. They're not like cats and dogs. They're wild animals down inside. You know, as much as you train them, as placid as they can become, they still have that instinct and they can still switch it on whenever they want to.
So how big are they when they stretch out? I'm guessing that could feel quite intimidating.
Not really. I suppose to people that haven't been around them very much, it could be. They do vary depending on what bird they are. You know, you get some birds that have like a 2 foot wingspan, and then you get others like our vulture that has a 5.5 foot wingspan.
That's quite big, isn't it?
It is very big. I mean,
and you're not intimidated by that at all?
No, not at all. No, it doesn't worry me now.
Right, but it did at the start or not?
Certainly. I can remember speaking about our vulture Ringo, when we first got him, I'd only been with the falconry for I think a year, not even that, and I can remember holding him and feeling very, very intimidated. I was very like, oh my god, what is this beast that's perched on my glove at the moment? But now me and Ringo have bonded so much that I'm actually the only person that can touch him now. So,
oh, really?
You know, it doesn't faze me at all anymore.
When you say touch, is that like a, you know, like a friendship sort of stroking? Dog or a cat?
No, it's not stroking as such. You have to touch your birds to do health checks on them. And I'm the only one that can do a proper health check on Ringo, because anybody else he'll try to peck. But Ringo is a bit of a softie and he does love a good scratch on the back of the neck. And when he's, you know, in the mood for that, he'll put his head down and offer it up to me and I'll just go and scratch him on the back of the neck. But he doesn't let anybody else do it, so it's very sweet.
Why do you think that you've got the magic touch then?
Unfortunately for me, Ringo was hand-reared, so Ringo thinks he's a person, and he's at that age now where he's thinking about breeding, so I think Ringo has latched onto me as a suitable breeding partner. I'm not sure whether I should be insulted or complimented, because I'm apparently very beautiful, but I'm a very beautiful vulture, so...
So Ringo fancies you then?
Yeah, pretty much. That's the long and short of it, yeah. But he does, he builds me nests, and he's very sweet.
Oh,
of course,
wow.
I can't go in and lay him an egg, and my boyfriend isn't happy about the affair, but what can I say? Ringo's much better looking.
So how many birds have you got?
I think we have 53 now. I'm not 100% sure. I haven't done a proper count up recently. We've got a couple of birds that have just had some young as well, so that number has gone up. And we've just got some new birds in as well for this year's display. So I'm not 100% sure how many we have, but it is around the 50 mark. I think we have the largest collection on the Isle of Wight.
Wow. So if you do a demonstration in front of lots and lots of people, does anything ever go wrong? Like, you just see a child be carted off and dumped in the sea?
We've never had a child carted off and dumped in the sea. No, that's never happened.
Are you in fear of Ringo finding love elsewhere?
No, I'm not. I'm not that worried. Actually, it'd be a breath of fresh air. I'd be able to go into his aviary again without him expecting me to do miraculous things, I suppose. No, the most trouble we've ever had on an aviary was Ringo stole a picnic, because he's a very greedy bird, and one of our Harris hawks decided he wanted to have a bath, and that's about as much drama as we get, touch wood.
So Ringo stole a picnic.
Yeah, vultures are naturally very greedy animals, so he will go for whatever he deems as fair game, and that has included picnics, pasties, ice creams, chili con carne, and you've just got to try and get it away from him as quick as possible.
So when you do that, the routine, because I'm sure there's kind of the routines that you do in front of people, and see, I've seen some of these done before. Is there ever a point when you think, behave, just behave, just let's get this done, because you don't know what's going to happen?
With Ringo, I know him. I'd like to think I know him very well, so I don't really worry too much about Ringo. But we do have another bird called Wilma. And whenever we get her out, she's a very intelligent bird. The cogs are always turning in her head. And I think, oh, dear God, Wilma, please just behave yourself today. Because if she decided to, she could play up very, very much. But again, luckily, it's not happened yet.
Have you ever had a bird that's disappeared and just gone and not come back for ages?
A falconer ever tells you they haven't lost a bird, I promise you faithfully, they are lying. Unfortunately, when you release those birds and let them go free, they have their own minds. You know, if they want to disappear, they're going to disappear, and there's not that much you can do about it. Luckily for us, we get ours back
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of any that we've not got back. I know.
We've got ours back.
Not so much when it's hungry. We've gone and searched it down and found it and retrieved it. It is your duty as a falconer, if your bird disappears, to try your best to get it back. Because depending on what species it is, it could potentially mess with the ecosystem. I'm sure you remember the red tail that was hunting down red squirrels a little while ago. Not one of ours, I would add. And not just that, but it's for the safety of the bird as well. It might not survive, and that's really not fair, because again, if they go missing, if they fly off, it probably is something that you've done wrong. And if you don't go and try to get it back, then you've got to live with that guilt of knowing that if that bird dies or if that bird suffers, it's your fault.
So could it cope in the wild?
Certain species could, but not all of them will be able to, unfortunately. It really depends on the bird itself, but there's no telling. But once they're out there, if you've lost them for good, it's in the lap of the gods.
How long have you yourself been interested in birds?
I've been interested in birds of prey pretty much all my life. My nan, when I was younger, used to take me to various falconry centres all the time, and I've always loved them. I've always particularly loved vultures, actually. I can remember this one particular time we went to a place in Kent and they had a condor and they were trying to get it to fly and it just absolutely refused, and I fell in love with him from there. So I've always had an interest, but it was only when I moved to the Isle of Wight and kind of found Haven Falconry that I decided that this was something I wanted to do for the rest of my life.
Brilliant. And there you are. You are now qualified?
Yes, I am.
Falconer?
I'm a qualified falconer, so I've got my Lancer Award. I work as a falconer, and I'm also the manager of Haven Falconry as well. So
brilliant.
I've done pretty well for myself, I'd like to think.
All at the age of?
I'm 22.
Well, that's young, isn't it?
Yeah, I started with Haven Falconry when I was 17. Refused to leave, and now I'm here.
Well, good for you.
Thank you.
Well, it's nice to meet you, and it's put I now have a little bit of knowledge, but I'd still be a bit wary, and I'm still going to try and get you to wear goggles
goggles for me, I'm afraid. Sorry.
Does anybody, do you know any falconers that do?
No, I don't.
Eye protection?
No, I don't actually. I don't know any falconers that wear
so
goggles.
You just wear things on your hands,
yes,
arms,
yeah, we
shoulders.
Wear the gauntlets, so the leather gloves. You can get shorter ones or you can get longer ones that are known as eagle gloves, and they've got a thicker kind of leather on them. But that's pretty much it, really.
So do you get like an adrenaline rush, or are you cool, calm and collected about it? Because I just know, for instance, if I, here you go, there's a glove, you get him to come at your end, I'd be there thinking,
whoa. Oh, no, I'm with that, I'm fine.
It's
just
cool.
Yeah, it's my everyday thing. I do get an adrenaline rush and my heart does kind of pound when you're letting a bird fly free for the first time.
Right.
And then you're just
in the lap of the gods, where they're going to come back.
You're terrified. And then when they do come back, suddenly it's all calm and collected again. And very, very exciting.
I guess if you let a bird go for the first time and it comes back, you know there's not going to be any problem with it.
Not quite.
All right, I'm getting confident already. Too much.
It's not as simple as let them go, they come back, and everything's shiny and bright. No, there are things that can go wrong. And again, it's our job as falconers to really have a look at the surrounding area and make sure that the risks are as low as possible before you let that bird go free.
Wow. I think you're incredible. 22 years old and got, there's so much about you when you think. Because that would scare the living daylights out of me, that would.
Yeah.
Especially when you've got a 5-foot bird or that sort of size hovering above with claws like I don't know what. That's like 4 ex-wives all rolled into one, all coming back.
It's usually not the big ones that you have to worry about. It's the small ones that are full of attitude.
Just full like little attitude. People.
Little man syndrome, definitely.
Little bird syndrome.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought that was funny. Anyway, look, thank you for coming in and sharing that with us.
Before we do go, I'm sorry.
Plug away.
I was supposed to be here to talk about vultures today.
Plug away.
I'm very sorry.
I thought you were talking about vultures.
No, I need to talk about what we're doing with vultures. Sorry about this. So basically, we, Haven Falconry, work with the International Vulture Programme, which work to kind of preserve vultures, because vultures are in very big trouble at the moment. 60% of the world species of vultures are endangered, with many of those being critically endangered. In fact, in Africa, 6 of the African species are critically endangered and on their way out. Now, we work with the International Vulture Programme to raise money for them, particularly for their poison response kits, because poisoning is one of the biggest problems for vultures in Africa. To the point where one poisoned elephant carcass can kill between 50 to 70 vultures in one hit. And Basically, these poison response kits are there to just, if the rangers and wardens in Africa get called up to a poison carcass, they will cover the carcass over and try and stop any further animals from getting to it, to get rid of the poison or stop them from being poisoned. Now, we've been raising money for the International Vulture Programme for the last 3 years. Last year, we raised enough money for 10 poison response kits. This year, we're trying to raise even more. But because we've worked so closely with the International Vulture Programme, they have actually kind of asked us to get more involved in our relationship with them. And they've invited me to go to Africa with them in October to work with conservation of vultures. Now, really, why I'm here is to try and convince people to kind of help the cause here a little bit. This trip to Africa, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be ringing and wing tagging over 100 vulture chicks. Now, the reason we're doing that is for identification purposes. It means that people are more likely to report sightings, and if anything happens to those vultures, they can be tracked back and a lot easier because they've got that identification number on. And also, we're going to be building a rehabilitation aviary for various raptors, so vultures, eagles, things that have been injured or poisoned or become sick in the wild of Africa. They can go there, get the treatment they need, and then be put back into the wild when they're ready. So what we're trying to do, or the reason I'm here today, is because we're trying to fund that trip. Now, the trip is going to cost £2,300, and we're trying to kind of spread awareness and encourage people to help with this trip, because it is really very important to the vultures. The reason we're going to be going out and bringing these chicks is we're going to be, I think it's the white headed vulture that we're looking at in particular, and looking at those chicks is going to tell us how the breeding is going that year, because the white-headed vulture is a critically endangered species. So that means in the next 20 to 25 years they could be extinct if we're not careful. So it's really incredibly important work, and we need to try and fund it. Otherwise we're not going to be able to get out there and do that work. So that's why I'm here, to try and spread the word and hopefully encourage some generous people to put some money towards it, so that we can actually go out and do the vital work.
How do they do that?
We have a Just Giving page. It's Just Giving. If you go to Just Giving and search We Love Vultures, of course it will come up. It's the first one there, and you can donate anything that you want to donate. Every little helps. It really doesn't matter how small the donation is, just it's so worthwhile. We really do need vultures, and if we weren't on the planet, the human race would be in trouble. We would be suffering. They are nature's cleanup system. There'd be so much disease and bacteria spreading through the world so quickly if they weren't here. We would have no hope. So every little helps. If you want to put anything towards it, it's really
good luck with
worthwhile.
That. Just Giving.
Just Giving, we love vultures.
Okay,
yes.
And give what you can.
Yes.
Good luck with that, and good luck with the trip.
Thank you.
I hope it goes really well. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. www.vectisradio.com